in the Rashi on Ayin Dalan Abayz, Shatuf Be'izim Be'tavu Be'izim. Krok Kedorish, Rashi says that this is Drasha that Chazal said that they did the spinning directly off the backs of the animals. Excuse me, was based on a pasuk. It says Tavu Esho Izim. So they spun the goats. Didn't say they spun the goats' hair, they spun the goats. So Chazal say, Mekuban shal izim mashman. They did it directly off the back of the animal's body. So Moran says, Chacham Yusera, Kirixi, Bechol Isha Chachma slave. The pasuk says explicitly this was done by women which had a tremendous wisdom. I will have it, if an average person in Darko Bekach, it's not normal. Havi Kalacha Yad is considered doing it in an abnormal fashion. Telish as a kanaf. Noitza gedolah min kanaf ha'oif. Person will take out one large feather from the wings of the bird. Ba'kayt moy lachar shetol shay. After you take it off, chotech roshay. You take the end shehu dak, which is very thin. Roy lahanicha bekaru bekesed, which you could put that into mattresses and pillows and mattresses. You cut that off. Then the tzad zanova on the other end, which has a much thicker, the spine of the feather is much thicker. Shukasha, which is hard. So murit sara mikan. You would then take a knife and you would pull up a hand, but you would cut off the hairs on each side. And you throw away the hard spine. And you use the feathers, the hairs of it, in your pillows and mattresses. So Bor says, so the act of cutting it, so the first act of taking it off is goes, then when you cut it on top, your chayv mishum mechatech. Why? Because mechatech has to be the specific size, because they would measure off what they felt was the good part which was usable at the tip, and they would cut exactly that amount. The kabbi lachtech on mokum shu roy. He was mocked, but to cut the amount up to the point where it was usable. We got men a kono ereg kevoyim, vosu kevoyim, mikan fe oifele seir. And the remaining part, Rashi said before that they would throw it out, but it says they could use that to weave things. So also they would cut it to a certain size. And then taking off the hairs at the bottom is chay mishum mamachik, it's not gabi or hamamachik. We learned in the Mishnah, the person is mamachik, wherever he moves the hairs and he softens it off. Okay. Zok demora. A kosher bahamater. So the next step in the process was, we sort of skipped some steps, which we're going to go back to, actually. These aren't the only gemaras that are going to talk about these malachas. We'll see them again. There's a whole parakah called Elag Shorim. There's a parakah called Ha'areg. So right now, the gemaras are just going through some basic points in each one of them. Shira b'mishkan hecha. Hecha Havoy, where was kosher in the Mishkan? There's no command anywhere to tie anything. Rabba says, "Can kosher be used as oyalim?" The pasuk talks about that there were these stakes, S-T-A-K-E-S. There were the stakes which are used to hold down the ends of the by the Mishkan, it's by the Urias and the Mishkan. So, well, what? How do you attach them to the stakes? You would tie them. That's what they had kosher. So then we're asked the kasha. So the gears on the side says Omer le'Abaya. So Abaya says to Rava. Back is the same thing.
Rava.
So Rabba said it was not. He changed the gizah to Rabba, and then Abai says to Rabba, "Who kosher amanas lahater? Who that was a kosher which when you tied it with intent of taking it apart. It wasn't something which just had a permanence to it. We'll see later on that that's not going to be chayiv. It might be usur, but it's not chayiv. Elam Rabbaya says, where was kosher? Shken orge yirios, people who were weaving the it wasn't really curtains. I mean, yirios usually means a curtain. The layer on top of the Mishkan, which you would lay down across the width of the Mishkan, that was the covering for the Mishkan. So those layers on top were called yirios. Shenitzkel lehen nima is kosher noisa. So when they were weaving it, and a thread would tear, you would tie together the two ends of the thread, and that would be you'd be kosher. That's a permanent kashira. Amalei Rava. So Rava says back to Abaya. Tirats the kosher, matar ma'ikal. Remember, you answered where kosher was found in the Mishkan. Where was matar, which is untying? If that's where you found kosher, what, you would not untie them. So where is matar found in the Mishkan? V'chitema. Maybe you'll answer me the following. The misrami le'tshrei chuti kitri b'hadi adori shorichad v'kotrichad. So you'd have on your loom, you'd have a few times where a thread snapped, and you would tie it together. And now, eventually, when you make your garment, you make your rios, so you'd have these two knots, and they end up in the process being next to each other. So it'll make it bulky. So now that one set's already in the garment, if you untie one, it's not going to unravel all the way to the end. The pressure of all the things around it will hold it in place. So you can untie one to relieve the bulkiness. So that's where you had matar in the Mishkan, was in case you had these two types of knots together, you would do that. So Morris says, Hashtal if they melk basa b'dom, enos and kain. You would not use such types of materials in front of a human king. So you do that type of, that's like, you know, that's not professional work. That's this clumsy type you get, you know, you don't use for royalty. So where did you have kosher and matir in the Mishkan? Shekein tzari chalazin, those who went out to capture the chalazin, to dye the things which needed chalazin, tchelis, kosher and matir, and they would be kosher and matir, their nets. And that's what they would have, kosher and matir. There is, as you would make the nets, you would add on threads through kshira, and sometimes the whole thing was too large, it would not work for what you wanted to accomplish, and you would remove threads, ropes. That was matir. Yes, it doesn't. It's like, Well, I'm sorry, what? Right. So
you can't go buy the knife to sharpen.
Right. So you see how, we talk about Melechas of Mishkan, anything which was involved in making the Mishkan was called Melechas of Mishkan. Okay. Let's see Rashi. Yustis oyalin, the stakes. Noetzim yisaidus b'karka, they would put these stakes in the ground. Kevetziv yustis amishkon. Kershon yirias behem b'mesrihem. And then there was ropes which went from the end of the yirias to these stakes, and you would tie them. So he says, Kershon manas lahatahu, because any moment you were taking the Mishkan, you're going to be taking, untying it and taking it somewhere else. And what's wrong with that? Rashi says, it's not a kosher. a kesher which is not made to stay is not chayiv. So specifically by kosher, such a thing would not be chayiv. Bone, you have the same kasher. In other words, in Melechus of Mishkan, there are many things which are made to make the items. Where is Bona? There's no Bona in making the items. Bona was putting the Mishkan together. Well, hey, it's Bona Manas L'Soser. You're going to be taking it apart at some point in time. But there's no such Ptur as Bona Manas L'Soser. There is a Ptur by Kersha Manas L'Hatur. I mean, there is a concept that has to have some level of permanence. But not the same, that doesn't work with the same principles as Kersha. It's a good question. That is seems to be machlokes in the Mishnah. Is there some, you know, what the definition of a kayama is? Kayama means you're putting there with intent just to leave it there. You're walking away from it, or leaving it there for a very long time. Is that called kayama or not? That seems to be machlokes in the Mishnah. What was interesting about the Mishkan was they didn't know. So, I'm sure how that plays out over here. So that you would have two knots next to each other. In that situation, after you've woven it already, so again, you would tie them together while they're on the loom. After you would weave it, matzer ha'echad, you would untie one now. Mesha Bolton, Manir, and it would stick out. The Morse language is you would, at that point in time, you would loosen one and tie one. You wouldn't really tie one, it means you'd leave it tied. Hasha, in front of a Melbosodom, Enosin, Washakish Matiro, Nira, Haneka, Biria, it leaves a little bit of an opening there, it's a little bit of a hole. Remember, their threads were very thick threads. It wasn't very fine thread, which would be unnoticed. It was their threads were a six ply. But you got them; they were thick. So what was the answer? They were careful with this. That it shouldn't come. They would estimate if they would have a problem with the loom that you know it would snap. They would make sure they didn't get near each other. Mr. Amile Trey Kitri. But they would have two knots near each kershon echad. You would leave one. You would tie one. And loiskin achut hashen. They would remove the other thread. Milamatim lamalu. They would cut it off. You know, if you have it snaps here, instead of tying it here, you would tie it here and tie it here, so it wouldn't be next to the other one which had snapped, and there's a knot over here. So you'd have one where the knot would be here. If the next one snaps near that, instead of making the knot there and ending up with two knots next to each other, you would cut out a whole segment and replace it otherwise. Misapka mechut archi, you would replace it with a long thread. Kershon the malamat, you would tie it at those ends. Main shom mishnayim pshorim suchim. You would never have two knots next to each other. Tzarich alazun litzboya hatchelis bedama. They would use the dam of the tchelis, like the Mor is going to say, to dye it. The dam of the chalosin to dye the tchelis. Hukim in da kotin is a small fish, like a small fish. The Mor says it comes up once every would come around once every 70 years. Therefore, the tchelis was quite expensive because it was quite rare. Kushan material. She called Rishoshes Asuyos Kshorim Kshorim. I mean, nets are just made of a lot of things knotted together. They're permanent knots. Pomim shetzarech litol chutim reshes zu lohoisev al zu matim mikan rekershem mikan. Sometimes you would have to extend one. You take one thread. You take the ropes from your cord from one. Take it off of one. Attach it to a different one. something more. But Tefer Shei Tefiras, a person would make the malacha of Tefer, of sewing, has to have two stitches. Two stitches means an in and out. That's what Shei Tefiras is. Mor says, Holei Kaimi. But if you do that, it'll pull out, so it's not, it doesn't have a permanence to it, it's not a Bala Malacha. Just one in and one out. So Amar Rabbah, B'chon Amar B'yechon, B'husha Koshra, and Echanami. He's not going to be chayim on Tefer in that case, unless he would tie it off. That'll hold it in place. Sakrashi, Holei Kaimi, Hachi, it's not going to stay thus, bottom line, Rashi. Well, Holei Kaimi, if it's not going to last, it's not considered a valid malacha. It's not done properly. If you make a knot at the two ends of the thread, that stitch would hold. So then the Mishnah says there was a malacha of kareya, which is tearing apart something which is sewn. But that is a destructive act. The Mishnah says, "Yom Chayiv if it's amanas litvur with intent to re-sew it or to sew it." Now, there's a big machlokes Rishonim. Mishnah Berurah talks about machlokes Rishonim, machlokes Acharonim. I'm not sure machlokes. Based on the Tosfos and others. Amanas litvor, is that a defining element in the malacha, or it just means it has to be something which is not destructive? So if I can get you a constructive act, a positive act, but it's not amanas litvor, is that considered the malacha of kareya or not? Some examples that he discusses. You remember the aerograms, right? Remember so you want to tear it open to read it. You're not going to put it back together again, but that's a constructive act. That's how you're able to read it. So is that the malacha or not? That's machlokes. Well, that's considered the malacha or not, because it wasn't amanas litvor, but it was a positive act, etc. He's my pasnas l'chumra also because you're dealing with chashash about the rice. Whereas the envelope, he says, you could argue is considered, even though you're opening the envelope to get the contents, but in the envelope itself, it's a destructive act. You destroy the envelope to get the contents. So even though you have a positive purpose, that's what you're doing is actually destructive. But in the aerogram, what you're doing is, it's not destructive. That's what makes this thing itself usable. Can't read it otherwise. So, in the case of an envelope, if you'd have a situation where you'd have something which was hefse merubah, you needed to have a mir lakum to tear open the envelope to read the contents, maybe you could, that's a shus to shus, lakum hefse gadol would be mutter. So you could have the goy open it up, and you'll read the letter which is inside the envelope. In the case of the aerogram, you couldn't do that, because you're telling the goy to do malacha deraisa. That's not mutter to have some merubah. So Mor says kriya b'mishkan mihava. Where was kriya in the Mishkan? Rabba v'Rabbi Zera Damri Tavayo. Both Rabbi and Zera both said the same idea. If a worm would eat away some of the thread, so the way you would do it is, now you have this hole there. You find the worm, find the insect, and you pull out the insect. Now you have a hole, so you would tear up the up and down that piece, and then sew it back together again in a way that you would get rid of the hole. So you have to be kareya above and below the hole to allow you to now have what to work with to sew it back together again and remove the traces of the hole which was there.
So,
Well, there you had an option because that was craftsmanship. There's ways of doing it. They shouldn't. Over here, what are you supposed to do? If the knot fell in, the knot fell in. You could replace the piece, I guess. I guess that they felt was not your responsibility. Omer Rav Zutra Bar Tovia, Omer Rav, Hamaseh Chut Shel Tfira B'Shabbos is Chayav Chatas. So if you have a thread which is coming out, which, you know, therefore you have your garment is, what do you call that? It's like you get a thread which pulls, so the whole garment gets folds up. So you pull it, you pull it, and therefore now straightening out the garment. So you're pulling the thread back into the garment. Well, you're doing tofer of making. That's really like making stitches. This thread was sticking out of your. Here's your garment here, and here's this thread sticking out. As you tighten, as you loosen the garment, so that the thread is being pulled back in. Well, really what's happening is the thread now is going in and out. You're just in tofer, right? This part of the thread which is out of there was hanging free, and now it's woven in. So that's tofer. That's true, but this thread now is moving. Yeah, as you're creating it now, you're making this thread go in and out. That's true, but that's irrelevant. I'm saying, but that's true, but this piece of thread, which is not part of the garment, was not going in and out, and now it is. So you've made something. You've done tofer. Right. So Rashi seems to say the case, which is a little bit different, was it actually would start to separate. I can't picture Rashi's case, but the Poskim said the case I just told you is also goes under this din. Rashi's case is, I'm not sure exactly how Rashi pictures it. Like, so Rashi has it, you know, the way Rashi pictures the case was that you would have two pieces of garment at a seam, the thread which held the seam together was coming out, therefore the two parts were coming apart, and as you pull it, you tighten it, the two parts come back together again, and that's considered tofer. Now, Rashi, the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara goes off with a totally different topic. Rashi says that Rav Zutra Bar Tovia heard from Rav these three statements. I won't go into it yet. Let me just finish my sentence. So before Rav Zutra Bar Tovia heard all these three things from Rav at the same time, so he sort of stuck them together. He should remember them. Yes. That's a machlokes achronim. So Rashi's case is two pieces of fabric. Right. Well, Rashi loses the case over here. It was two pieces of fabric, but there are others who said you don't need that. That's what's very negay is korea. Then, if the definition of tefira is two pieces of fabric, the definition of korea also is two pieces of fabric. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav, who says that korea is only on the seam, according to that, the Mishnah Berurah comes out not like that. The korea even on the seam is also called korea, which is very negay because one of the toldos of Kareya is, the Rambam says, is taking two pieces of paper and gluing them together is called tefer, and tearing them apart is called Kareya. And that's all of your opening up your bags, all the type of things, is the malacha of is Kareya. It's two pieces put together and taking it apart. According to Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's only Kareya if you tear it out in the seam. That the Berlocha comes out not like that, you have to be Chorishish, that is Kareya, even not on the seam. But the Paisim do Armitzarfit as a Tzad Heter. If you're Kareya, not on the seam, at least Kron Shechor Rav is not Kareya. You know, so that's where. And that's the flip side of what the Teufer is, Badafka. The quintessential Teufer is two pieces of garment put together. That you would have Teufer. But which was clearly done in the Mishkan, you would sew the areas together. But it's not clear that that's limited to that. I can't picture Rashi's case exactly how that would work. I guess just because it gets out long, they come apart. I can't picture them and see it. Okay. Unless, maybe it means just thinking like, you know, so your stitches, instead of being very tight, start becoming like this. When you pull the ends, you make it longer, then you're tightening up. That's the case. Okay, thank you. Okay, now the more it goes off into a totally different. Again, these other two statements are not negated to Hilchos Shabbos. V'halaymen dober echad min hamagush is chayav misa. A person who learns something from the magush, we'll see what a magush is in a second, is chayav misa. So the Mora is going to bring a machloek exactly what a magush is, but the Rav understood a magush was a person who was a min, which Rashi in other places in Shas says a min was a person who was extremely attached to a Avodah Zorah. So even though what you're learning from him is Divrei Torah or whatever it is, but there's a danger of learning from him which can allow you to be connected to him, and therefore he's going to eventually take the person and bring him to Avodah Zorah. Therefore, I'm not sure this Chiyav Misa over here means the Chiyav Misa de Shemai. I'm not sure exactly what this Chiyav Misa is. It's interesting, the Poskim, when they talk about it, you know, clearly that would apply from the person in person. What about reading his writings? So the Poskim are machmir on that also. You know, you shouldn't be reading the writings of this person who's a known Avodah Zoranik, because you start reading his writings, even though you're reading his writings about mathematics, but next thing you know, you're reading, he'll throw in something about who knows what, which is why there is one of the complaints about, you know, somebody, you can't read the writings of the church fathers about the Old Testament and their explanations, because you don't know what they're going to be throwing in over there about their Avodah Zorah things, etc. Rav Menashe Klein has a tshuva, interesting. The Jastro Dictionary. So I once asked Rav Klein, I asked him about, you know, using it. Is it proper to use it? So the assumption is that he was a conservative. You know, he was on the staff in Hebrew Union College, and he was a conservative Jew. And he told me, he says, translation of the word is not a problem. That's not called learning something from him. But after he translates, he usually quotes the Gemara. He says, that's called learning from a person who his personal opinion is approach is not Torah proper. So you should not get involved in learning Torah from such a person. You're reading his, you know, as in the paragraph, he would explain Gemaras. You should not be learning Gemaras from him. I found afterwards that the Rav Menashe Klein in the Tshuva says exactly that point, and he bases it on this Gemara, and he calls him a Mogish. He says, whoa, okay, that's pretty heavy. But he applies the Gemara over here, and this Gemara over here, that's called Lamed Arechem, and a Mogish, you shouldn't do it. The translation of the word is Mutter. I don't know if she even says that part, but Rav Shimon comes on, the translation is not a problem. That's just, the actual word is not called learning from him. But when he explains the Gemara, you shouldn't be learning from him. Some guy told me afterwards, he says he wasn't really conservative. I said, you know, I can't get involved in that. You know, I don't know that, you know, the historical facts, this, that, other thing. But assuming that would be so, that would be the proper approach. The third statement that Rav said, person who has the ability to get involved in processing how the tkupas and the mazolos work, the different seasons and the mazolos work, and he doesn't get involved in it, also the Sapramela, you should not say nice things about him. He's doing something improper, and therefore we have to, you can't call him a good person. He's doing something wrong by not getting involved in those calculations. The Morris can go back to these 2 points. Magushta, what is a Magushta? Rav Shmuel is close to Rav Shmuel. Chadam Recharshi, that he was a Mechashef, a person who did Kishuv. Chadam Gedufi is a person who was involved in Avodah Zarah to the point that he was constantly insulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Morris says, Tistai, and let's prove that Rav, the Omer Gedufi, Rav is the one who said he was a Gedufi. The Avodah Zarah Nick, the Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tzuvi, Amar Rav, Halom Yedav Rechem in the Magash, is Chai Misa. Person who learned something from the Magash is Chai Misa. So why? So these are the items, because if you would understand that Rav was the one who understood the Magash meant Acharshi, one of those Kishuv, Haksiv, there's a Pasik, last expression was loy silmad last, says you should not learn to do. And Chazal Darshan, about to law made lo hovin lo haris. You're allowed to learn how to do kishuv to be able to pass in halachas of kishuv. What's osur, what's mutar, what's chayv, what's not. She allowed to go to the kishuv macher, you know, the local kishuv macher, and says, explain to me how you do this stuff. Then I'm going to kill you afterwards anyway. But that's size of the problem. Meanwhile, let me how you. So he would know how to pass it. So they were, you know, the Mora has all, we had it headed, if you remember, the Mora discusses about how Rabbi Kiva knew how to do Kisha from moving the Kishuim from one place to the other place, all those different things. They know how to do it. Because that they had to be able to paskin on it. And it's based on a pasuk. So, apparently you're allowed to learn it. But if you learn it from the Gedufi, the guy who's involved in Avodah Zarah, to the point that he's constantly insulting Kadosh Baruch Hu, etc., you can't learn from this fellow. So that's a valid point this time. Okay, that's the Mogosh part. What about the Tkuvas Mazolas part? Amr Shimon Pazim, Amr Shimon Levi, Shimbar Kapor, Kol Yudei L'chashet Tkuvas Mazolas. A person who has the ability to understand these concepts and calculate them, Ben Achash, if he doesn't do it, Alava Kasav Omer, on him the Pasuk applies, V'espoil Hashem lo yabitu, Masa Yodav lo yrohu, that they did not look into the creations of Hashem. The work, the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, the Gerson inside. Menayin Shem Mitzvah La'odam L'chashem Tkufas Mazolus. You remember Shmuel was one of the biggest Bekiyim in Tkufas Mazolus, right? So he quotes from his Rebbe Rabbi Yonasan that it's a mitzvah to learn Tkufas Mazolus. Shenemar Ushmartem Asisem You should be careful that your person, you should be careful with the words of Torah, because it is your wisdom and your knowledge in the eyes of the nations. What wisdom and knowledge was there which was in the eyes of the nations, the other nations? This is the calculations of the Tkuvas and Mazolas, which is something which the other nations were able to appreciate the wisdom of the Chachamim, that they would have this tremendous knowledge and be able to make these calculations. I would tell you, the little that I have read about it and heard about it and seen, it's tremendous what the Chazal knew. I'll just give you one example. Just listening to a tape, there's a fellow in Cleveland, formerly Cleveland, now he lives in Eretz Yisrael. The fellow, he's a construction worker. He worked in construction. Tama Chacham. He's living in Carolina. He works half part time, and he flies back to Cleveland, does work, and goes back there, and suddenly learns the Kabbalah. He's a tremendous bucky in Tkufas and Mazolas, and the astronomy, the calculations. And he gave a shiur. I read his. He wrote a sefer. Tremendous not working. I read through it. You just sit there and follow it. It's. When we did Rosh Hashanah, I used it a few times. I sing a shout out to the little country called Nishmaya, the little booklet I brought in. So he gave a shiur. I was just listening to the car now, Ben Isman. So he gave a shiur where he was explaining, I read through it in the book, the different types of calculations of how you make how long it takes for the moon to revolve around the earth. And we know we have from Chazal. Your 29 days, 12 hours, and 44 minutes and one chalak. 793 chalak, 797 chalak, whatever, right? 793, 797, whatever it is. Right? That's an average time. It says it can be, it can be from this length to this length, and what defines it, why it's so, when types of years, the parts of the year does it happen? You know, depending on where the where the Earth is vis-a-vis the Sun, because the Earth's orbit is an elliptical, and the Moon's orbit is elliptical. And at the apogee versus the perigee, the speed that it moves is quicker versus slower, and that would impact and you're just making this, you're just going on and on and explaining this thing, you know. So that's the Mishnayos over there, Rosh Hashanah, which we talked about. Pam baba baruch, pam baba kusar. Sometimes it goes quicker, sometimes it goes slower. And the Rambam has all these calculations. He says you can without studying any other astronomy, you can just read the calculations of the Rambam and figure this all out. And the Pilas, the Chazanish, etc. They had wrote whole treatises to explain these, you know, the different kashas of the Rambam, the dragons of the Rambam, the calculation, these long mathematical calculations that the Chazanish is dealing with, you know, one 18,000th, you know, etc. Like they're making these calculations. There's a tremendous chachma that they had. I mean, even nowadays, the average month, the calculation which we have, is different, I think, from the calculation of the you know, your NASA calculation is a difference of like point something of a second, the 0.03 of a second. That's the difference with that you're dealing with, or 3 seconds, something like that. Remember the difference is like you're talking about that type of precision of Chazal. 3,000, you know, 2,000 years ago, it just comes along, the Greeks and says, "How do you know that?" Like, you know, we just spent, you know, 50 years of our lives trying to make this calculation and figure it out, and you figured it, you knew it, you know, and they'd be able to calculate. So it was a tremendous chacham on the Klal Yisrael head. Darna, let's see, Chaparashi over here. Terlas, it was a worm. Menachem ben Nekev cut would make a small hole, the auger, which is round, the circle, the royal, the matzah, the mal, he would then tear above and below the hole, as a nekev. Because otherwise it would make the sewing together, it would be wrinkled, would be bumpy. Also not clear exactly what Rashi is picturing on that. Beggar hatover, beggar which is already sewn, the thread was not tied off perfectly at the end. Therefore, it's a little bit longer, so what could happen is it can spread. I'm just now finally figuring out this Rashi, thank you. And he's part of the Shtech, a beggar, zooming through. So the two pieces of the garment would separate. It makes us partially. And the tefiris would extend. The stitches would extend. So now you'd pull on the end. You'd pull, then it would attach together again. Okay? Zuhi tfirosa, that's considered an act of being tired for b'chayiv. One of the recommended mogush, min ha-mamshicha la-barazora, it's a min which pulls a person into barazora, afilo d'var taro, also a little bit of min. You can't learn even d'var taro from him, which he's saying properly. But we don't want you getting involved in learning from such a person. V'yideya ha-ritlas shemaitza sheminu rav zutra mirav ki-adori regarsinu. So he heard these three statements of Rav at the same time, so he put them into his, and they learned al peh, so he reviewed them together, because he just heard them that day from him together, and he reviewed them together, and he would say them over together. Amgusha, Dermina lebechol duchti, the phrase of Amgusha, which you find in Shas, what does it mean? Rav Shmuel Pligibo, they argue. Chadam Rekharshik, Mechashev, one of those kishu, Chadam Rekidufe, Min Odek, Vodazor, it's a Min who's, Odek is like, stuck to Avodah Zarah. He's very, very attached to Avodah Zarah. Megadiv Tomen Es Hashem. He insults, constantly cursing Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chas v'sholem. Umesis Anoshim Avodah Zarah. And he missionizes to do Avodah Zarah. So Rav holds Megadufi. Dis Vodayat Karshi. Metayma Mishum Dutsi. Belo Yimotzi Becho. Becho Choshim Mechashim. Because you keep Mechashim. You shouldn't be involved in kishuv. Vaksiv le'elmine lo simad lasis. Kadei shatah said you can't learn in order to do. But lahavin learn shetuchol lamed behem to understand them. Yasin novi sheker lefanecha shetavin shemachash. You need to know. So this novi did this proof that he's saying the truth. Hey, he's an Avi Sheker. How do you know? Because I know Keshub. I know what he did. You understand what's going on. So Tisana Gadufi, who Rav holds Gadufi, he'll call the word of Dibre Vadazora, Vistalik me Allah of Shalom Yashiacha. You shouldn't be convincing the Vadazora, stay away from him. This is an obvious, it's nicker to them, it's noticeable to them. Shemar lehem simen the dwarf behilo chachama b'mazolus. They can explain how the sun moves through the different mazolus. Shemirim k'dwarf. Rashi says there was astrology involved. She'omer shavazuk shuma. This year will be more rainy. He can, it'll work out like that. This year is going to be more sunny. He can, it turns out that shekol. Depending on the sun moves through the constellations, but mazel totally, it's all totally mazel. Kol lefi hashoah, hamaschel is the shamish b'knisas hachama lemazel. Depends how the sun goes through the constellations. Now, because as the sun moves through the sky, there's your constellations in the background, and the sun seemingly revolves around the earth, and it in that. That revolution that it makes, it's going to be seen against the backdrop of different mazolos. That's what it means. It moves to the different mazolos. So that the astrology, which you're able to calculate when it's going into what, will have different impacts. Okay, we'll have to stop. So we can do a little more. Hasad Svi. This is a very important piece. We're talking about a Hasad Chalazin, person who captures the Chalazin, about Poitzei, and then would pulverize it to get out the liquid. He's only chayv one chatas for the tzedah, but he's not chayv for the psia. See, he would squeeze it. Rashi says get out the blood. He's chayv twice. Shayur b'chirahudam or psia b'chal disha. That's the remember that the malach of dosh is to separate the kernel, to break off the kernel from the stalk. To get the usual item by breaking it apart. So we said then, so the block of cholev, of milking, is the same thing. There's this usable thing inside of there. You squeeze it out. That's in effect, it's breaking the milk out of that which is holding it. So squeezing out the blood of the chalazin should be the same thing. So it's considered dish. So the Morse says, okay, I'm over my time at the Rabbonon, so why did the Chabon not say that? Kasavri ain't Dishal of the Gluli Karka. They said, Dishal applies to Gluli Karka. Now the Rambam Paskins, that's only because Chalazin is in the water. Anything which grows on the ground, Gluli Karka sometimes is used in the means that which it grows directly out of the ground. The Rambam says over here it's being used to refer to anything which walks on the ground and benefits from the items which grow off the ground. Gedulim the Gedulim is called. It says, so human beings, animals, etc., there'd be a din of dosh. There's no din dosh on something which grows in the water. And that's how the Rambam says it. We'll hold it here.